Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have something I need to do while you're standing. What is October? I heard Halloween. Somebody said Halloween. Boo. Some of you even wore costumes tonight. Praise God. Pastor appreciation. How in the world can you put into words appreciation for Brother and Sister Glover? You just can't. I almost just got a blank card and left it blank for that reason. Because you just can't put into words. I started writing stuff, and I'm thinking to myself the whole time, school teacher, I'm going to mess up some spelling. My grammar's not going to be right. My handwriting is sloppy. This probably is going to get a D minus for sloppiness and misspelled words. But we love Brother and Sister Glover. Amen. Amen. Words. Words or money can't express how much they mean to us. I got thinking, I missed the birthday gift, but I heard that it was something really, really incredible. The problem was, the more I thought about it, the more lopsided I thought that this poor little boat was going to be out there fishing one side, the other side. Ah. So, Pastor, we want you to come and accept this wonderful, it's in there. There's something in there that you probably want to maybe help with the... And Sister Glover, we know that Brother Glover is wonderful in his own right, but he is so much more wonderfuler with you. Amen. Amen. Sister Holly, get up here. That is for a matching, a gift certificate. He would say something, but then I wouldn't have time to preach, so I'm not going to let him speak, or Sister Glover, for that matter. We love you. Amen. We love the Glovers. Amen. Praise God. Oh, and if you didn't know, that's for another matching electric downrigger for the other side to balance the boat. Amen. And the next time we're not going to get skunked the next time we go. No. And we're going to have all kinds of energy to fillet those fish because we're not going to have to crank those up. Amen. Praise God. All right. Let's get into the word here real quick. Leviticus 13:45. I want to start with the encouraging stuff and then move into the more dark things. I'll start with Leviticus tonight, and I will be quick because I hear there's possibly root beer floats downstairs along with the coffee. It's a surprise, so don't tell Pastor. Okay, Leviticus 13 and verse 45. It's good stuff right here. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. Where's Brother Norm when you need him? We love you, Brother Norm. Hope you're watching. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry. Everybody shout it. Unclean, unclean. All right. All right, let's pray. God, we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, for each one that is here. I pray that you would bless us tonight with your word. Wash us with your word. I pray that we would be changed by your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And talk about leprosy for just a little bit. You want my title? I'll give it to you. I'm not scared. Be contagious. Be contagious. All right. According to WebMD, and you know, if you read it on the internet, it's true. So, but according to WebMD, you can only catch leprosy if you come into close and repeated contact with nose or mouth droplets. Everybody knows what that is. From someone with untreated leprosy. Now, I know that leprosy is not common in our area. There are still cases of leprosy, and it is treatable, and all of those kind of things. But that was a disease that was looked at as a contagious disease in Scripture. And what was the response to this disease? It was, get them out, right? It was a very, very negative response to this disease. Get them out. Cover up the lip. There was some wisdom in here. You don't want to spray the disease. You don't want to be near. You don't want to be close to. Because contagious means that something can be caught. Something can be transmitted. Something can be obtained from you or to you from someone else. To be contagious. Let me bring it down to something that might be around this time of year. That is the common cold. Has anybody suffered with the common cold or the flu during this wonderful season? A lot of us have. And how do we obtain the common cold? The same way. Because it's contagious. Contact. By skin-to-skin contact, handshakes, or hugs. You ever see anybody come to church and just do the fist pump? Because most of the time they're coughing into the palm of their hand or into their elbow if they're doing it properly. Right? All those that work around the hospital are cringing right now. Sanitizer. I should have brought little sanitizer packs with me. Contagious. So the other option is saliva, shared drinks. Ooh, who does that? Parents do that all the time. Kissing, by touching a contaminated surface like a doorknob or a phone. You know what the most disgusting thing in your home is? Either your phone, which now everybody's got their smartphones on them, so that's pretty disgusting. And then the other thing that's very disgusting is a remote. A remote control. These things are all extremely disgusting. How many times do we sanitize these things? I'm preaching to you tonight about sanitizing your home. I'm just kidding. Being contagious. Being contagious. What is your reaction to someone who says they are sick or just acts like they're sick? The man cold. Anybody ever get a man cold? The ladies never get a man cold. My coworker had a man cold this last week. Oh, love you, Mike. If you're watching, man cold. What is our reaction? Back away. Cover our nose and mouth because we know that they are contagious. I'm not contagious anymore. I'm not contagious. I haven't been sick for days. I feel fine. Love you, brother. Hug your neck. And now you're sick, yeah. Right? Because yeah. They are contagious. It comes through contact and sometimes repeated contact. But eventually, if you hang around a sick person long enough, you will become sick. I hope you can see where I'm going with this. I never said it was going to be deep tonight. So when we are around somebody who is sick, our reactions, of course, are to back away. Keep our distance. I don't want to have what you've got. I've already been sick this year. I don't need it again. I can't afford to be sick right now. we immediately start putting into our brain all of the things from times past of when we were sick. Pain, discomfort, lost time at work, lost income, isolation. And maybe there's a small, small part of you that says, I really like chicken soup. Or beef broth. Yum. But no. So, now that everybody in here is paranoid of getting sick, I have my second important question to ask for you tonight. Do people want what you've got? Do people want what you've got? I want to look at Ruth. Ruth 1, verse 16. We can throw those up. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Don't shoo me away. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Ruth saw something in Naomi and said, I have to have what she has. I don't care the cost. I don't care what I have to go through. I will sleep. At this point, Naomi has nothing. Nothing. Absolutely. It's not like she's going to a place where she knows that there's going to be food and there's going to be a bed and there's going to be something to provide for her. There's none of that. She's going with Naomi, who has absolutely nothing and has lost everything in front of Ruth. Ruth knows the truth in this situation. But Ruth sees something in Naomi. Don't shoo me away. Whatever I have to do, if I have to sleep on the, where you lodge, if you lodge in a cave or if you lodge on the ground, that's where I'm going to lodge. And wherever you go, however far it takes you, I want to go that distance with you. And if they're your people, I want them to be my people. Okay. And your God, right. All I've ever seen in your life right so far has been destruction and loss. But I've seen something in you. Something in you has not wavered when it comes to your God. And so not only do I want your people to be my people, I want your God to be my God. If your God can do what he's done for you, he can do it for me. I want what you've got, Naomi. I want what you've got. You may think that you don't have much to offer. And really, in this life, we really don't have a whole lot to offer. If you have absolutely nothing, if you are lodging in a box underneath a bridge, if you have no extra funds, if you have no family, you are alone in this world, you have something to offer. You have your people, which is the church of the living God. And you have your God to offer to those around you. It doesn't take a lot. This world doesn't need a whole lot. It just needs Jesus. All right. It's a pretty simple concept. They need Jesus. And when somebody looks at me, I want them to say, I want what you've got. I want the church that you go to. I want the contacts and the friends that you have in the church, the family of God. I need that in my life. And I need the God that you serve. I need the God that you serve. Don't shoo me away. We should be shooing, or should have to shoo people away from coming to church. Bothering me. Stop asking me about coming to church. I want what you've got, and I will not be shooed away. I want what you want, or what you've got. Looking at Elijah very quickly. God told, we can go into the whole story, but we don't need to tonight. The simple thing is, God told Elijah to go. Told him to go. And he said, and on your way, on your way, anoint people. We're looking at 1 Kings 19, verses 19 through 21. That's where we're going to eventually get to. God told Elijah to go. Elijah obviously listened and went. And by the way, on your way, as you travel, anoint these people to fulfill the calling I have placed in their life. And so Elijah goes and he anoints a king. And he goes and anoints Elisha. Elisha. What is Elisha doing? Plowing. Does Elijah just anoint him? Let's look at verse 19 in 1 Kings chapter 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. That's a lot. And he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. How many of you have ever prayed for someone to put their mantle on them? And you know what he's saying when somebody asks for a mantle, somebody's anointing, somebody's ministry, when they put their mantle on you, how much weight that holds? Elijah just passed by him and cast his mantle on him. It's like, if somebody threw their mantle on me and I had 12 yoke of oxen and I'm plowing a field, I would be fighting to get out from underneath of it, number one, so that I could see what was going on. So that I didn't lose control of the mighty beasts that were pulling the plow. This mantle, though, symbolizes contact. Elijah had to make contact with Elisha. The mantle also represents an investment. Elijah was investing in Elisha when he cast his mantle upon him. Continuing on, verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah.
Elijah. This is what Elijah did. Right. What Elisha did. Elijah just cast his mantle on him. That's what he did.
He just cast it on him, kept going. Like, I'm on a mission. God has called me to anoint people, and I'm anoint. Anoint, contact, invest. He made the choice. He ran after Elijah. He left what he was doing. The oxen ran after Elijah. Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. There's maybe small print, and I know I don't have my reading glasses on tonight, but between 19 and 20, after he casts his mantle upon him, I don't see where Elijah said, come and follow me. So he ran after him. Let me just take care of this one little thing. And I believe family is important. I think that's all right. Go say goodbye. But he had purpose. I will follow thee. I will follow thee. And then he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Like, what just happened there? Just threw my coat on you. And so, verse 21, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh, had a barbecue with the instruments of the oxen, which means the plow that he was using, the tools that he was using, that was the fire. that burnt up the animals that he then fed to other people, pretty much eliminating the possibility of going back to his old life. My commitment to Elijah is, I will follow you and I will minister unto you. And what would cause that? What would cause that? I take you back to verse 19. Cast his mantle upon him. When he cast his mantle upon him, that was Elijah contacting him, coming in contact with him, and investing in him. That's what that symbolized, investing in Elisha. When we're out and about, and I ran into Brother Thomas at Fred Meyer today, I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm inviting people to church." Praise God. Something exciting about that. And that's what we should be doing if we're out and about. Make that our... That's the reason we're going. And oh, by the way, I picked up the tomato. That's right. Right. Whatever we're out in town doing. But our main reason, our main focus is connecting with people. But when we connect with people, we also need to invest in people. People want what you have. They want God. They need God. They just need to see it in your life. And when we will take the time to contact people and invest in people, we will see them leave their old life behind and come and follow the God that we are following. Praise God. I believe that. I believe that. Elisha left his old life behind. He desired to have what Elijah had, so great that he made it impossible for himself to return to his old life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Praise God. The book of Acts, we see the Holy Ghost spreading quickly. Spreading quickly, like wildfire. You could say that the initial 120 were contagious. People who came in contact with them wanted what they had. Questions arose. What must we do? We want what you've got. How do we get it? How do we get it? What was it about them that made people question? What must we do? What was so different about them? Why not just ask the guy on the corner, "Hey, I like what you're doing with your little bread shop here. What must I do to be a bread shop owner? Really got an interest in this sandal factory you got going on here. What must I do to do that?" There was something obvious in their face, in their body language, in the way they spoke, the way that they lived, the way they presented themselves, and the power of God moving in their life. What must we do? Not what should we do? If I were to attend your church, what would the requirements be? What's it take to become a member of your church in Sterling? What are the things that I would have to maybe not do, and some of the things that I would have to do? Give me a list of rules and regulations. The question is, what must I do? Implying, this is something I have to do. This is something I have to do. I want to do it, but this is something I have to do. I have to have what you have. I cannot go another moment without getting what you have. when we walk down the streets of our town, when we come in contact with other business leaders and other co-workers, I want them to look at us and say, what must I do? I must have what you've got. Why do you always smile? Why are you always positive? Why do you always talk about miracles and things of God? Why do I need to have that in my life? What must I do? And I'm going to burn all the things and cook up the oxen and feed it to people. Because I don't ever want to go back to that. What must I do? Simon, this is how extreme all walks of life saw all of these things occurring. All kinds of different personalities, all kinds of different people. Well, there's just some people you just can't reach. Never said that before, have you? Well, they just don't want what I've got. Even people with wrong motives want what you've got. Look at Simon when he saw the apostles. He wanted to buy. He didn't have any understanding. He lacked all of the understanding around the situation. But that's cool. That is awesome. I need to have that. How much can I give you? $20. $100. I don't know. I've only got $200. I'll give you $200 for what you just did. Can you show me how to do what you just did? I've got to have it. Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And it was so simple. It didn't require money. He missed the point just a little bit, but it was so simple. He also could be going around laying hands on people and them receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because it's not the apostles. It's not you or I. It is the power of God that works in you. Praise God. It is not my hand. It is not your hand. We're doing the work. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the voice. But it is God that does the work. We do the planting, sowing, the watering. But God gives the increase. Simon may have lacked the understanding, but he saw something in the apostles that he wanted really, really badly. It's like, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. And when I come in contact with people, I'm so excited at work when the cook just out of the blue walked up. He goes, I've been wanting to do this for a while. I just didn't have the nerve to do so. And you kind of are a little bit withheld a little bit at work on the job site. You don't know kind of how people are going to react, and you're in a trapped environment, and no one can run anywhere, and I could chase people down and pray them through the Holy Ghost, and they couldn't get away kind of thing. So you kind of are gentle in your approach. And I was already headed to bed. He came and knocked on the door, and he asked me if I could help him. He was really interested in learning about the Word of God and had no idea where to start. He's like, I don't even know where to begin, but I want to read more. I want to understand more. Where can I go? And so we've gone through the Gospels together. That was step one. And we've done Into His Marvelous Light. And we're working together to learn and grow in the Word of God. But it was that contact. That contact. I didn't do that. I was just living my life. Living my life for God. And the power of God that lives in me was being seen by Him. And it popped the question, what must I do? What must I do? Do I take any credit for that? No, absolutely not. God was doing a work. God had been calling him for years, 13 years an alcoholic. God had been calling him for years. And I thank God that I was able to be there at the moment he decided, I need to know more about this God that you serve. Thankful that I was there at that moment. We need to be ready at that moment. when somebody says, I need to know more about the God that you serve. I want your people to be my people. I want your God to be my God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So does anybody look at your life and say, I want that? Whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. I mean, a lot of people don't know what that is. We're not dealing with people that know a little bit about Scripture anymore. We're dealing with generations of people who have never read a Scripture. Don't know the basic Bible stories and the Bible characters. Who are they? I don't know. I've never had that. My parents never taught me anything about the Bible and never even really saw a Bible or opened one up. I don't know anything about this. But you've got something that is drawing me to you. And I don't understand it, but there's something about you, something about your life, the way you live, the way you act, the way you talk. I want that. I want that. So does anybody look at your life and say, I want that? Oh God, help us. Would anyone see your actions, my actions, and be willing, like Simon was, to fork money out for it, to invest in that? I don't get it, but I want it. And I don't even know how to get it, but I'm willing to stake my money. I'm willing to put my money on the line for this. I want what you've got. I don't care what it takes. I want what you have. I want what you have. When they look at us, do they see Jesus? Brother Glover started this service with Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Anybody here, unlearned and ignorant men? I work in the oil field. That has a whole lot of meaning out there. Because we're all a bunch of ignorant and unlearned men. And we turn into eighth graders when we get on the platform. Bunch of kids. No adult supervision. Praise God. Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. They took knowledge of them. Took note of them. Saw them. Perceived that there was something different about them. And what was it? They had been with Jesus. Do you want the world to take note of you? Do you want them to notice you? Spend time, like Aaron was talking about. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time in your room talking. Don't do all the talking, Aaron. Sometimes you got to listen. I know you do a lot of talking, but sometimes you just got to listen. But spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Him. And people around you, they may think that you're unlearned and ignorant, but they will take note of you and the power of God that lives in you. Praise God. According to the internet, and the internet does not lie, they say that the most contagious thing in all of the world. Anybody guess? Yawn is pretty contagious. A smile is pretty contagious. The bird flu is pretty contagious. A child's laugh is rated number one in the most contagious thing in the world. But me, being the skeptic that I am, want to challenge the internet tonight. I would say that a Holy Ghost-filled child of God, walking in the power and anointing of God, is the most contagious thing in the world. Hallelujah. Anybody believe that tonight? Hallelujah. 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 I believe that. Now, when a child laughs, it's okay to laugh. Don't think that you're not being a Holy Ghost-filled child of God. Amen. It is pretty contagious. See Lily laughing, and then she laughs at you, and you're laughing at her, and then she laughs at you because you're laughing. Gets out of hand. Pretty contagious. Contagious is not a bad thing. We always think of contagious in the sickness and the all of those kind of things in the negative realm. But contagious is just transmitting, connecting with, taking what you have and changing someone else. That's being contagious. Tonight, I can't challenge you to be contagious. I can't. I'll explain. I can't challenge you to be contagious no more than I can tell you or tell the common cold to be contagious. It just is. It is very similar to light. When you walk in the room and you flip that light switch, does it have to break through the darkness, pushing it back into the corners, getting it out of the way so that it can shine forth? No. Light just is. Light just is. Praise God. And the Bible says that ye are light. We don't need to struggle with our witness. Just be the light. Be the light. Darkness has to flee. Praise God. So I'm not challenging you to be contagious tonight. I'm telling you, you already are contagious tonight. Hallelujah. You are contagious. If you are a child of the King, and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are walking in power and anointing, and you are staying close to Jesus, you are contagious. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand. I'm done. I went 5 minutes longer than I wanted to. Try to keep it simple, because I am unlearned and ignorant. Try to keep it simple. But I want people to take note. I want people to notice me. I want people to notice that I have spent time with Jesus. I want people to notice that you have spent time with Jesus. I want you this week to spread. I was going to say spread like a disease, but that's not probably... That's probably not good. We're not going to spread like the common cold. But how does that stuff spread? Contact. 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 Touch people's lives. Invest in people's lives. Make contact. Spread Jesus in this world. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that what you want? Is that what you desire tonight? Can we just raise our hands for just a minute? Asking God to help us as we journey. God, you've called us to go. And we want to go. We will go. And we will anoint along the way. We will invest in people. We will contact people. Hallelujah. Trusting in you, God. Trusting in you. People want what we have. People want you. People need you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, help us to be the hands, the feet that make the contacts. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. For just a moment, can we gather in today? We're just going to pray together as a family. Praise God. Amen. We can infect those around us too. Sister Sherry has a contagious smile. Even if she's not smiling, you want to smile at her or around her. We love you, Sister Sherry. When Pastor Glover's around, it makes me want to speak deeper and speak with more wisdoming than I've ever done before. There are people around us that affect us because they're contagious with their wisdom, or contagious with their smile, or contagious with their anointing, contagious with whatever it might be. We together as a body are affecting one another, and we can be each other's strength. It strengthened me in my witness to see Thomas in his witness. Amen. So we need to pray together as a family tonight that we would be strengthened together and that we would go forth together as a great big contagious army. Praise God. Infecting all those that we come in contact with. Anything we touch, let it have a remnant of Jesus. Praise God. So that somebody that comes along and touches it after us, let them feel Jesus in everything that we do. Let's pray together tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. God, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen this body in Jesus' name. God, that we would go forth in power, that we would go forth in anointing, God, and share your glory, share your story. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would go everywhere that we go and let your anointing go with us as we touch and as we pray for and as we minister to our community, to our friends, to our co-workers, Jesus, at Fred Meyer, wherever we may go. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would go with us and that you would infect and that you would touch and minister to every situation, every need. God, I pray that miracles and signs and wonders would follow us, that we would pray for the sick and they would be healed in Jesus' name. I pray that you would pour your Spirit out as we lay our hands upon people's heads, that they would be filled with your Spirit and speak in unknown tongues as you give the utterance. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. God, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus' name in Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.